Devil's Suitcase by Masonic Temple, and I'm looking forward to them. They're coming from Australia, or from the Aussies, and coming out here to the United States, and we'll be playing live at several clubs out in Los Angeles during the month of July, and I'll give you the updates on that. And definitely a group to see live, and they're coming out with, I guess, a new album, and that they're doing a recording, which should be quite fascinating. And by the way, welcome to When Pigs Fly. Coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We've had some very cool, nice weather lately. Not for long, though. You know how it hits up in the hundreds and hundreds of degrees out here. We always expect that. And it's been going to be quite an unusual week. And, of course, I'm Andrew Fetter. I don't want to thank all your listeners out there who are listening now and into the future. And, of course, BBS Radio for, of course, producing my show. I would do like have a say a couple announcements, one or two or three. I had a great, by the way, book signing event. So thank you for all those who had came in the last couple book signing events. I had one just last weekend, the Psychic Eye Bookstore, met some extraordinary people, and you know, which is what I like to do. I like to talk to people and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. I just like talking to people. But you get to meet the people, you know what I mean? It's kick back. And I also had one over at B. Dalton at the Henderson Mall the week before that. And if any of you are coming out to Las Vegas or happen to be in Las Vegas on June 21st, that's, I believe, 2 weeks from tomorrow, you know, in 2 weeks, that weekend on a Saturday, I will be having a book signing event at the Borders, their new store, at the Town Square Mall, which is on the Strip. It's rather a large facility. It's a, you know, pretty big, like, outlet mall sort of thing. But this Borders is actually quite big. It's almost it's a tri-level store, or two-level plus half, or whatever you want to call it. It's at 6521 South Las Vegas Boulevard, and that is just south of Russell on and near Sunset, but it's on the Strip on Las Vegas Boulevard. Again, it's 6521 South Las Vegas Boulevard, and that is June 21st, and I'll be there about from 1 to 3, possibly longer. Usually end up saying they're longer. I don't know what it is. They go 1 to 3, 1 to 4, and end up being longer. Because they just, you know, it's pretty cool. And just want to also let everybody know, it was quite, by the way, congratulations to Barack Obama for being the nominee for the Democratic Party for becoming, hopefully, the President of the United States. And hopefully he does make the right choice, which I believe would be Hillary Clinton as his co-ticket. I know other people say opposite, but I think that would be a major killer as far as in elections. And but I do want to say another thing, is which is quite fascinating. I had a guest on way back when. Actually, I had her on in February and in October. She was an astrologist, and her name's Carrie. And I had her on in October, and she did actually an astrology on all the candidates, and it's quite fascinating. If you go back and listen to that thing, she actually said Barack Obama, out of all of them, was the best candidate based upon the astrology, which was quite fascinating. Lo and behold, who would have thought? Do check that out, and do check out, if you at your leisure, my past shows about different issues, of course. And check out her. She has a very interesting blog site, and it's free, of course. And she keeps you updated on astrological points and aspects of the particular month, and she gets pretty detailed. And you can check that out at www.zodiacbuzz.com. That's Zodiac, ZodiacBuzz.com. And check that out. And also, please do check out from my last show, which I felt quite fascinating speaking with, and I want to thank him again for coming on my show for the first time, Jay Castellano. That was a pretty fascinating conversation we had regarding free energy in light of now we're at $4 a gallon and plus. Realize that we do have free energy. And he had discussed a guy, about Nikola Tesla's inventions and the abilities that we do have. But he brought up about somebody, a guy named John Searle, who spells his name S-E-A-R-L. Do have free time, Google it. I actually put his invention, I put the YouTube taping of it, of showing his invention that has free energy, and it's amazing. And I put that on my blog site, so check out my blog site, and that's at www.andrew, and then a dot after the Andrew, myufo.com. And I posted that on there so everybody can check it out. There's two of them. The first one sort of just, and the guy looks far funny because he's dressed like in a, looking like he's wearing, you know, like a, he's about to get his diploma or something, you know. And he's a unique person. And then you'll see the second, actually watch the, if you watch the second tape, he gets more into watching how the thing goes free. And he has a, you know, interesting conversation while he's explaining that. So I thought that was pretty fascinating, especially seeing free energy in front of your face, that we do actually have it. So, lo and behold. And also, everybody, do feel free in contacting me at your leisure, or any time. I guess that'd be your leisure. At my email address at flyingpigs@artlover.com or at my MySpace/AndrewFetter. And just send me a comment or idea or anything, questions you have about past shows, elements of past shows, or discussions you possibly would like, even suggestions of what things you would like to hear toward the future. And I always implement them. I've had people have asked me a long time ago about during past shows, or actually commented to me wanting to know about either about Kabbalah, and so I did a couple shows about Kabbalah, and then I had one more detailed of one of Kabbalah, and then one person in particular was curious, or actually several people, were asking me about going out of body, and I had spoke of it briefly, and then I got more into detail, and actually on my past show for people who are fascinated about that subject, you can please do check that out on my one of my last shows. I forget when I did that. But it's in the archive. Check it out. And actually, at the end is a meditation to go out of body. So don't listen to it while you're driving your car, obviously, or doing something mechanical. And because at the end, there is a meditation that you could utilize for yourself. That's what I mean, to help you go out of body. And do contact me if you have any questions regarding what is the situation. And speaking of which, is while I was at the psychic guy doing my book signing event, had many conversations with a lot of people, which was really cool, because I do have a lot of conversations, a lot of fascinating people at my events. And, you know, some people were, one guy I remember who got very detailed, wanted to know about going out of body and others, the stuff. And then there was others, because if you check out my book, my newly released book, The Heretic, check out the website when you have AndrewTheHeretic.com. It gets into the beginning of the book about regressions. That's part of the theme of the book in the very beginning, is about going back into your past lives and how they reacted. And then there's a procedure within that book of going into your past lives, going to getting a regression. So a lot of people were asking me about regressions. We talk about past lives. So then I thought, you know what, maybe I should have that. And then I got a couple emails from a couple of people wanting to know about past lives and regression. So I go, okay. Ding, bell lit up, and I said, maybe I should do a show about that. But first, to understand going regressions and past lives, probably have to understand what your matrix I have gotten in the past regarding it. What is, you know, your soul, your spirit? So you have an understanding of what that is. If you look at what your soul is, your spirit, within your consciousness of your embodiment that you are in, you can almost, like, if they put in a visualization of it, it would possibly more closely be looking like, I don't know, people, like the movie Cocoon, where it's like a faceless ball, like an energy, your figurine, if you want to call it that. Because basically you're like a vortex, because the energy strands of you are connected everywhere. That's why everything, every element, we're always connected to everything, because there's like strands of all different types of energy connections. You know, whether it's chakras is one, but there's a multitude of other connections, which they've already proven with, I mean, there's a famous light detector test that somebody took a piece of tissue of someone from their, like, their mouth and put it in a light detector, and then miles and, you know, hundreds and thousands, you know, miles away, the person would be away from the where the test light detector is happening. And based upon that person's experiences and actions, like if he's upset or happy or she or whatever, the response on the light detector would show that. Like if they're happy, it'd be show happy. If they're sad or upset, it would show that on the on the light detector. So there's a conscious connection even within your own DNA. We're always connected. But the matrix, the vortex, you're like a vortex within your embodiment. And I spoke with in the past about, and like I said in my one of my last shows regarding going out of body, that when you go out of body, you basically go through your head, through your forehead. Your consciousness goes out of there, both when you go out of body and when you come in. Well, the same thing happens when you're born and also when you die. So that is, you know, something to visualize and understand. That's the perceived, that's what happens. Basically, you go out in there from there. And when you go out from one body to another body, you know, as time progresses, like, you know, you heard people have heard of old souls, new souls, whatever. When you die, you know, you just don't go anywhere, okay? But you do have a certain elements that you carry with you. When you do all the experiences that you have in your particular, let's say for this example, this lifetime right now, whether positive, negative, happy, whatever they are, I'm not even to judge what they are, they go with you. Like that's the suitcase that you have, like empty suitcase when you're coming into this lifetime, and you start filling it up with your experiences and your reactions and everything that happened with all your experiences are taken with you. So when you die, you don't get your Mercedes with you, you don't get your fancy car, all your money. It doesn't go with you in the grave. The only thing does though go with you is your experiences. And those include the karmic consequences of those experiences as well. So, I mean, it's like in the Bible, people go, you know, by the way, in Judaism, they do believe in reincarnation. Even Jesus and the Jews, Christians, the original Christians, believed in reincarnation. They believe that, you know, you die, you come back, and you reincarnate. Now, there's elements of how, different people believe what you reincarnate. Some people believe you reincarnate within the line of your family line. But I have to disagree with that because from my own experiences and knowing where I've been reincarnated, my own past lives, I found myself in different situations. Like, I mean, I've been a Native American, I've been in Asia, I've been in Europe, I've been in different areas and different time sequences that have no connection at all. And I've been, like, if you read in the beginning of my book of The Heretic, I actually named three past life experiences that happened. And also, by the way, in that book, I actually have a very specific line of how to perform a regression. Now, I have done regressions, multiple regressions for people in the past, And I have some people now wanted me to do a couple in the future now. But it's always fascinating to hear people's responses from those experiences. I even had one where I did one with a past. At the time, she was one of my close friends. Later, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. But I got literally sucked into the past life while I was in regression because one of her past lives happened to be one of my past lives, and that was pretty fascinating. In fact, actually, that is in my book, The Past Life Regression. I scribed it into my book. So, you know, if you ever check that out, you'll know Andy's three past lives, and you'll know the three, and you'll know how to the procedure of a regression. And basically, when you go and getting a regress, you're actually taking a person to go out of body, because that's you're going into that time element. I have spoken about on the levels of time when you're in time space. Like on this side, we're looking at time in one linear time, one dimensional time, as space is three dimensional. If you go past the speed of light and you go underneath, as they say in quantum physics, and flip it over on the what they call the antimatter side, which is the flip side, then you have three-dimensional time, one-dimensional space, and that's where you can go back into the past and also in the forward, and that's where really the procedure of regression is actually accomplishing. So knowing and understanding that element, I think it's also important to understand why we, our past lives and our present life and how they, what they really are. Okay, first, let me tell you what happens when you die, though. When you die, basically, your soul, as it pulls out, you have like almost it shoots out in different levels. You have a level based upon your energy vibration. Vibration means there's a frequency in your vibration of your energy. So depending how high it is, how more elevated it is, it'll spring that further height out of it as it comes out. Now, there's always an element of your nefesh, they call it in the Zohar, which is your flesh, an element of your soul within your body, the bones. Part of that still stays in there because there's always that connectedness. So when you leave and you die, you're going out, right? And but first, you go into the place of the lower element, which is that's where the nefesh is for, like, if you're putting on linear time, they would say like 11 months. And that's where you're on the lower side of that time element to before you spring further up into the universe. And that's like almost like if you would look at like a sling. It's like boom, it shoots up, and then you're springing further and further up as you're after the 11 months passed or whatever, and your vibration hits so high, that's where you end up being where you are at after you pass away, which is called the lower side is called the Jahannam or Jahannam, which is the hell. That's what they call the real hell is. That's referred to in the Kabbalistical way. You know, it's not a bad. It's just that hell is where everybody goes, and that's where the nefesh is, and before you spring forward, and then you go up further up into the with a more like the heavenly area, depending on the height of your vibration, and depending how high you are of your frequency or vibration. Some people have elevated them so high in their vibration of love patterns and said that they can't even exist within this physical body, so they don't really come back. They're sprung right up, and that's where you go beyond in vibration. That's what they mean by when you're going further ahead up above. But they may go into another life experience in a different embodiment and in different space or time, another planet or another species of another universe or galaxy or whatever. So there's always, it never ends, okay? And while you're up there, by the way, you're like out, whatever, you're connected and you have a full knowingness of yourself. That's called the higher self, because you're now at your consciousness is now fully merged with your, is opened. There's no veil between the conscious and your higher self. Like when you're in your lifetime now, you have a veil, a thing that cuts you between your higher self and your conscious self. And that veil is actually sort of like a protection to some extent. Because if you knew your higher, if you knew what your higher self knew, meaning you would know all your future events and all things that you that are about to happen, then you wouldn't walk through them. You'd be, you know, what would be the point? Because it's your point to go through them. So anyway, while you're up there, that consciousness, you're dead, right? And you're, after you died, you're up in the whatever, in the what they call the heavenly body, the heavens or whatever you want to call it. You're then at a time of your choosing, by the way, you decide to come back. And this is in your conscious and higher self decide to come back into a new embodiment. And so then you're picking that new embodiment, which happens to be the embryo of a baby that's inside a woman at that time. And there's different time elements for that reincarnation to exist. There's all that time, usually it's within the first, you can say, within between a month to 2 months of the pregnancy, that consciousness enters into that embryo. And it can also move out, too. But it usually at that time is when it's connecting in itself while it's in the womb of the your mother. So that's where your connectedness is. That's where people, when they go back in time, they see themselves in a warm place, and they feel themselves actually within their, during some regressions, they will find themselves within, you know, their mother's womb. So that's when you come back down. But as you, before you come down, you actually, first of all, you're carrying element, your experiences, like I said, those suitcases of your past lives with you. And they may pop out. Sometimes they're sealed. Sometimes different elements are closed in. But a lot of them carry a lot of karmic events. And the karmic events are things that, because you had created them, the universe says, okay, now you're going to have to, either for a positive or maybe negative thing, or it's not really that, it's just to rectify an issue, whether it's to meet somebody, a past lover, or past mother, past father, past friend, or somebody that you had, you know, violent situation or a positive thing. There are different reasons why you, it comes back. But there's a duality in your karmic events and your past, your present life experiences. Some of the experiences that you have chosen. First of all, you choose the parents you have. It's sort of weird. Because your mom and dad, you know, decide to have a baby and they have sex and then boom, there's your kid, or sometimes accidentally or wanting to, or who knows the situation, but they're meant to be. So you actually, when you come into that baby or your new embodiment, you've actually chosen that particular life along with the karmic events. It's almost like if you took a painting chart, you know, the little painter things with no paint by numbers, that is the life that you present for yourself. You've chosen it. This is here. This is how it's going to look. There's 1, 2, 3, 2, whatever, and you've chosen your life. And as harsh as a thing could be, you may have chosen a life that'd be very nice, some very easy, just kickback, some very harsh. But those things you've actually chosen, even the worst things. So, and I don't want to say it because people go, "What? Yeah, I didn't choose to be, you know, abused and rape and." You know, there's a duality to that. They're part of it. Like I said, you've chosen some things, and some things are meant, the universe chose for you out of karmic consequence. For like payback, if you want to, or something that you have to, experience for your own. So there's a duality. Some of it you've chosen, some of it's karmic, but ultimately the whole package, you've agreed to your contract to do it. Basically, so it's ultimately been your choice to go through it. Even the karmic events is out of your choosing, because ultimately you chose to experience the whole life experience that you're about to do. Now, the reaction like I said, your life is set up almost like a little coloring paint by numbers. It's your reaction to those things is how, whether you know how you color it red, blue, whatever colors you fill in, that's your reaction to those experiences and situations. So if you like don't have, you get into a situation where you're in a state of poverty or whatever, and you're born within a really bad area, and you choose to become violent over it, or become a thief, or become a gangbanger, or decide to become a terrorist, or you know something violent in nature, or if that's something of the dark, doing something very dark, or hatred, or negative, or abusive. That would be one choice, and the other choice would be learning to endure that and become a better person for that. And some of the things might be extremely difficult, extremely hard. There are other, and on the reverse side, somebody could have picked up a very easy life, and I'm talking easy life in terms of materialism. In that sense, like you're born into a wealthy family, and you go, "Wait, how come I wasn't born like Paris Hilton?" Well, her soul chose to be Paris Hilton, and she chose the life that she had, and out of that, she had the opportunity because she had born in such financial ability to utilize what she was basically set up into a positive framework. Like helping other people or expanding other situations. And that brings up the other issue. Why do we consistently reincarnate? Well, the bottom line is why we reincarnate and go through lifetime after lifetime is one real simple thing: to better ourselves, to grow, both in healing ourselves from past situations, to learn from past situations, and to basically pick up our frequency so we can become better. And, we have the opportunity to change and make better. We always have that opportunity to make better change. So if your vibration becomes higher, meaning you do acts and your thought patterns and things where your reactions with every instance of your life becomes better, you're increasing your vibration to a loving pattern. You're going up, the vibration goes up. So you're going to that direction, toward the light. If you're going the opposite direction, doing something negative, spilling out hatred or something negative or something violent, for example, or being constrictive, you're going the reverse side, It's almost like, then you're going toward the dark side, So it's like, and then that will amplify for your next lifetime. And you'll have to reciprocate what you just went through. So most people tend to, they're choosing. Some people tend to live their life on a merry-go-round. And you'll see them. They'll do the same experiences over and over and go through the same circles, even within its own life. I mean, I've known people who, and you probably can look around. You'll see people do the same old thing. Like they'll have the same kind of boyfriends or same kind of girlfriends over and over and over again. Or they'll put themselves in the same situations over and over and over again. You can pull it out, and they'll go, "Okay, I'm moving to another city, or I'm going to try a new thing." And it's not the location or the situation. If they haven't learned from their situation, they'll just end up repeating the same situation. So it's like somebody who puts themselves in dire straits consistently, over and over in the same situation over and over again, because they probably haven't really learned to why they're at that situation. Like they haven't embraced, they got too much anger, or they got too much, there's some issue that they're repeating that they haven't learned. Until they learn that, then they can move forward and go beyond what they are at. So that's what the whole point is, reincarnation, going over and over and over again. So what would be the point of knowing your past lives? Somebody, was asking me, everybody's fascinated. Well, I want to go know my past life, where I was. And they're looking at it more as a novelty. And when you're looking at it as a novelty, it's cool to know, hey, I was, during the time of, let's say, okay, like in my book, I had one during that time of Alexander the Great, or you're during the time of old China, or you're a Mayan Indian, or something very exotic, okay? Or living during Egypt. Oh, man, I was during the pharaohs. You know, you hear all these people who are interested in all that stuff. But that's, you know, that's the novelty of it. That's all right. That's cool to look at it sometimes like that. But that's not the real issue of knowing your past lives. The only time that is really important to know your past life, besides, you know, the novelty idea of it, which is not really the most important, would be to know of what you've carried from past life, from past lives to the present life. And there might be something, an issue. You may have consequences, you have weird dreams of things in the past, and it's consistently coming back, or experiences that you've carried through. An example would be, let's say you have a death wish pattern that always consistently having. I mean, you always look at things living on the edge, and you just keep on reciprocating the same thing each lifetime, and you want to find out why. Well, there might be something in one of the past lives that you did, that you experienced, that is being consistently being brought out, and you have to find out the issue of why that was happening. And then you find out, oh, wait, that's what happened. And then, see, once you become aware of that, then you know how to rectify, fix the situation. So, in fact, in Hebrew, and in the why that I explained earlier, that there's reincarnation within Judaism and in Zohar, and it's the very almost identical to the ideology within Taoism and also Buddhism, about reincarnation, and I believe some elements in within Native American spirituality on some tribes, that you keep on caring, you want to refix all those elements, and you go from one life to the next. And in Hebrew, it's called tikkun, which means literally to fix. And that's, tikkun is also karma. So that's your tikkun. And then there's a part of the Bible everybody's familiar with, that the sons will inherit the sins of their fathers and grandfathers, generations to come. You've heard all that sort of, I'm paraphrasing. But that's what that means. Basically, also that's saying you will inherit your grandfather's. Basically, you're inheriting your own karmic events. It's your karma that you're going to be dealt with. And that's pretty much what happens. I mean, if you even read out throughout the Bible, a lot of the element things in it, when, like example, King David, when he went killed his one of his, you know, the famous story, God, I might even blink of his wife, the queen. Anyway, he went and before he married her, he was having an affair, and he had his the girl, I can't remember his name now, her husband put in the front line so he'd get killed, and then he married her, which happened to be the mother of King Solomon eventually. But there was a karmic event that happened because of it. What happened? Then he had strife within his own household. There's karmic events. You can see, look throughout the Bible, there's always karmic events. Free action, there's a reaction. So that's just with the karmic reaction within that lifetime, but there's karmic reactions carried from lifetime. So, you know, if you heard people do something extremely negative in this lifetime, and you know, well, then you heard the thing where people, oh, they're going to get their own karma, they may not get it in this lifetime, but they will surely get it in one of their future lifetimes. That's part of the nature. And then there's also present time for karmic events. Like, we can immediately change a lot of things drastically. And I think that I don't want to get into it, but it's something happening like within our own. The souls that are in embodiments during this time period are fortunate because they're walking into a time period on this plane with a lot of help. I mean, you know, there's like energies that people help themselves, you know, to do things. You know, you've heard other people on past shows or people on other other hosts on this show, on these on BBS radio, or other shows or books or spiritual people or whatever, and they helping how to heal yourself and do all kinds of stuff to better yourself, to bring yourself worthiness. And those are all like helps, right? Well, the universe is actually placed upon this planet a very helpful situation where we're changing our dynamics and relative to the alignment of our planets is causing a almost like a healing, massive threshold healing effect on our planet. And that's why you're going to see a lot of things happening, like a storm, a lot more storms, earthquakes. The planet's changing because of vibrational shifts. So that's happening within our own lifetime. But getting back into regressions, because that's what the subject of today is, that is effectively we've chosen, our souls chosen to be into this plane for that. And so we've chosen the opportunity for all these events to happen to all of us that we chose ourselves to be in, live during these times. Because, you know, when you reincarnate, you don't necessarily have to go back, like you die, you come back again. It may be right away, 10 years, 1 year, you know, there's no given when you decide to come back into another body of this plane on Earth. So, but we've chosen, everybody who is living right now, to live in this time, to experience what we're about to experience. So think of that. You have chosen right now actually to listen to, just like you're listening to my show, or about to listen to my show, or will be listening to my show in an archive, and because you've chosen it. The same thing, you've chosen to come into this lifetime to experience all the negative things. Yeah, all the negative things if you've found yourself in. And it includes the karmic events, because you've agreed to, like a contract, I will do these and experience these in reaction of those. And that could be the worst things. I mean, you may go, well, I didn't want to see my brothers and them hurt and killed and da-da-da. Not to sound cold and not to sound very existential, yes, you did. Because you're looking at on the side, and it is a reaction. You know, when I lost my father when he passed away, and he died in his 50s, which is fairly young, that deeply hurt me. But it was my reaction to that. It was my reaction when I lived overseas in Israel, and people, friends of mine I knew, died during the war or in terrorists by murdered by terrorists. My reaction to that. My reaction to, let's say, if I put myself, I was in dire straits and I had no money at all. What was my reaction to that? And then it would include if a girl gets raped. And I says, hey, go out there, and I chose consciously to get raped, but that was actually karmically happened, that experience. And I hate to sound so cold about that. But that's really, if you look at, you pull yourself out with, instead of being the one-dimensional on the, sitting here looking at on the chessboard, you stand up and look down on the chessboard, then you see what's really going on. Step out of the bubble and look onto your lifetime. And you'll see that those elements, those in reality, were things that you chose. And your higher self, before you came in your body, you chose every little element. Your reaction to those elements. Now, they create, by the way, when I showed you the little map on your reactions in your lifetime, when you are going from one situation to another, you are going from, like, they're like forks in the road. So they would sometimes create different element situations. Like, for example, if you chose to go to B instead of A, have a reaction, and so that may lead you to a path. See, there's like multiple paths that you've just created, and you decided to go down that line. And sometimes those lines that you've created, no matter what you do, you end up like meeting of somebody or coming into a situation of somebody, like a lover, a friend, whatever. You go down this course, and you eventually cross roads on what your reaction is. It's like when somebody who gives you a real reading, not the bullshit reading, and they tell you, oh, I see this future event, that's at that very moment, that's what will be happening. If you continue choosing these parameters and things that happen, that's what happened. And it can change sometimes in a duality, sometimes it's meant to be, you're going to end up going there. But if you go down the line you're going, that's where you're going to go. And you can change those because you have choice. You always have choice. Even on the karmic events, you can actually, if you can always change a situation from happening, because if you've learned it, then maybe you don't have to go through that karmic consequence. An example would be, let's say you, and it's not always a given too, let's say if you've actually helped yourself to grow, in a spiritual sense, and elevated your loving vibration to such a level that maybe you don't have to go through certain situations because you've already been there, learned it. The universe doesn't tend to usually want to give you the same lesson 3-4 times over and over and over again if you've already got the deal and you're passed with flying colors. So that would be that situation. So like I said, that is part of regression, part of your past lives. You will carry those things. So when you look back in your past lives, don't look at it just as a novelty item. You know, where I was, you know, it's cool. Hey, everyone wants to know, hey, man, I was there. It'll make sense sometimes. I mean, I've been in places in different countries where then all of a sudden, where for some reason I knew the area. And I was like, wow, I already know, like, the back and high in this particular area or whatever. You'll find different situations that you'll find yourself in past lives that make sense to you now. People have heard where they have fear of certain animals or certain spiders or water, or, you know, maybe like you've heard where, oh, they probably were drowned in their past lives, so they have this. You will carry fears until you overcome those fears. You can carry those from one lifetime to another lifetime. That's another partial. You will carry things all the time, over and over again. So it's really important to release, go through your fears, because fears really are illusionary elements placed upon yourself. And once you overcome those fears, then you're already beyond that. And part of that, walking through those fears, people for walking through your fears, is actually healing yourself from them. Releasing yourself from anger towards situations, toward people, learning to move forward from that. Like if somebody hurt you, definitely learning to separate, not to carry that. Well, it's the same thing. Don't carry it into the next lifetime, because you will carry that into your next lifetime. If you haven't healed from that in the present lifetime, you will carry that. So sometimes when you go past lifetimes, you may find people that you've met, and then here you are again in different situations. There are have been where you will find people have been their mothers and daughters and sons and vice versa, you know, of the same thing too. Like you could have been your daughter could have been your mother, your sister, your friend. There could have been multitude. And usually when you meet people, there's a karmic connection with them. You'll meet the same souls from past lives all the time, and you'll have like a connection because you had a past life experience. And usually we attract real quickly to those. You've heard of like soulmates are usually have a very deep connection in from past lives. They may have experienced so many lifetimes, that's why they're called soulmates. You meet 1, 2, 3, 4, you might a lot of soulmates, maybe just one. It's all, nothing's definite. So, and then, you know, and that's the transition. And the other also thing is, when people regress, that you're going in different lifetimes, where this comes in the idea of their sexuality and their gender identity, and you've heard where, like, they're between homosexual and heterosexual or bisexual. That's because a lot of lifetimes, let's say if you're experiencing most of your lifetimes as a male, for example, and or you're experiencing most of your as a female, you'll identify as more of a heterosexual. Most people end up staying, not like everything's going to go back and forth, not all the time. You can literally stay within your own masculinity 90% of the time. You may once in a blue moon, but you're more identified. But what happens is when people are going back and forth from one lifetime to another and they're in different genders or they've been a masculine, they became feminine, or feminine into a masculine, they might identify. So when they're born, this is when they're not talking about experience out of subjugated to their sexuality placed upon them out of a rape or something like that. But if they're, you know, they're born and they're like, that's their feeling, they something born gay or born or whatever, or even where you heard cross-gender people are born with born in a male body but feel like a woman, or vice versa, and for transsexual, or like I said, also whether in their sexuality and gender identity is whether they're gay or straight or bi. That happens because their lifetime experiences are carried forward. So they keep that identity. They hasn't been separated. So, and when they've come in, they haven't really separated. So that happens as well. There's no given. Or they may have been in a situation where that is not even on this planet. Don't forget, you can reincarnate not only on this planet, but on other planets as well. So you can keep on going in the same life cycle on Earth, but you could have been on another species, another alien species as well, and in another plane. And you might find yourself, this is where I call originating. If you read in my first book, When the Angels Have Arisen, I talk about originate, where your souls originate. Their souls originate from this vortex called Earth, and there's originate from, let's say, the Pleiadia or Orion or different other galaxies where there's extraterrestrials that you might identify with or have had a past life experience or where you're connected. And those are what I call soul stars. Soul stars are basically, and there's Earth originate star souls. So that is also taking place. If you do a lot of experiences you find on Earth, that's because there are issues on this plane that either you to implement or to help one way or the other, or to help yourself. So bottom line, when you reincarnate, you're first to help help yourself. Not to sound narcissistic, but that's what you're here to do, is first take care of yourself. Because if you ultimately, like I said in past shows, if you heal yourself, that vibrational element actually helps other people around you, especially your immediate people near, they will pick up that. Like if you're putting out a highly positive attitude and helping yourself and things like that, that will vibrate to those right immediately around you. And in the same consequence, go ahead, you can help people, but don't help people to cover up your own hole. You know, don't help somebody because it takes you out of focus of healing yourself. You know, don't use that as a distraction. Use that as a supplement, you know, like as an added bonus, because you're feeling you're helping yourself in the meantime. But at the same time, you got time. Hey, I'm going to help that person or help this person, because nobody's perfect right now. Nobody's. If we were such a high vibration, even the Dalai Lama is not perfect. If he was so elevated to a perfect soul, he would actually not be in his present lifetime. He would have spun off, as they say, and that's why he keeps on reincarnating, because he himself even has issues. You know, that was where the issue of why Jesus left, that's why Moses had to go, that's why Buddha had to leave, and they all, you know, had to spin off eventually. They couldn't come back, and they may have come back, you know, into this lifetime. There might be a Jesus walking around in somebody's soul, right, walking around here, or a Buddha, or a Moses, or a Muhammad, you know, or Geronimo, or, you know, Sitting Bull, whatever. There might be people who've consistently come back over and over again. They may not have spun off. We don't know. They only know. Their higher selves would know. So I hope that this helps everybody in understanding the regressions. And if you have any questions or comments as well, please do contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. That's my email address, of course. Or you can always contact me through MySpace, which is myspace.com/AndrewFeder. It's FEDER, and I want to thank everyone for listening to this my show today and in the future. I didn't realize time just flew by. And I hope you enjoy my closing song. Since I started out with a little of Devil in the Suitcase, I figure I should close with Angel in Disguise by Denise Vasquez. And you can check her, it's from her album Frame of Mind. And again, have a great weekend. And hope this helped everybody. And heal. And God bless you all. Again, have a great weekend. And enjoy Angel in Disguise.
My angel in the sky.